God, you raise us up. You raise us up so that we might be who you call us to be. You raise us up so that we might walk in the world, sign and symbol of your love and your hope and your truth. You raise us up to be more than the world and even sometimes we think we can be. Thank you, God, for loving us just that much. Now, speak through this, your daughter. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Beloved, the biblical writ is filled with the stories of fathers. You know the story of Jacob and his 12 sons and daughters. You know the story of Abraham and Isaac and Ishmael. You know the story of Isaac with Jacob and his brother. You know the stories of fathers, great and amazing patriarchs. But the truth is, not every story of every father rises to that kind of greatness. Not every story of every father has thunder and lightning and miracles. Some are quiet. Ah, but they are just as important. Now, in 2 Timothy, there's this text. It's the third chapter and it's the 16th verse. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says this: every word of Scripture is God-breathed and is good for reproof and correction and instruction, so that those of us who are reading it will know how to go. Every word of God, meaning every word in the Bible. And so, when I started looking for stories of fathers for Father's Day, I didn't want the big flashy ones. Started looking for quiet ones that made a huge difference. So in Acts 21, you heard Ted read it. Paul is on this travelogue, and when they get to Caesarea, they stay with Philip the evangelist, the first deacon, one of the first deacons. And here is this line in the 9th verse of the 21st chapter of Acts. It feels like a throwaway line. It doesn't change what's going on in Acts 21. We never hear about these daughters again, but there it is. There it is. That Philip, the evangelist, had 4 unmarried daughters who prophesied. Now let's get clear. In that day and time, it was a father's job to raise his daughter, keep them virgins, and to marry them off. It was the daughter's job to get married off and have babies. Because the only worth or wealth that a woman had in that time was that she could procreate. If her womb was barren, she was worthless. But in this text, Philip, the evangelist, the deacon, the one who has served, the one who's carried God's word in his mouth, the one who has stood before the people, Philip, 4. And you know people laughed at him. You know they looked at him and said, he can't get one of them married off. You know they laughed at him. But what if Philip had modeled before these girls from their birth what he learned in Jerusalem, that to love and serve the Lord doesn't have to be noisy, but it has to be consistent. What if he modeled before them that you do what you do and you walk in your calling of God no matter what anybody else says? What if he modeled before them that service before God was among the highest ideals? What if he poured into them, encouraged them to feel their gifts and to use them? And what if he covered them? What if he said, maybe if you get married, that person you marry won't see your gifts and won't honor you in the way that I will? Come, beloved daughter, stay here with me so that you may move in the way God commands. What if Philip took a huge risk by being ridiculed, by setting his daughters up for ridicule, but by obeying God? because he would not let them live something he didn't want them to learn. He let them live his confidence in them so they could be confident. He let them live his understanding of service so they could go out and be servants. He let them live the power of God's word in his mouth that they might have that same power and that same word in their mouths. Children, learn what they live. That's not a throwaway line in Acts 21. It is a call to action for all fathers, for all parents, to live before your children, to cover them, to encourage them, that they might be all God wants them to be. So today, Laura, Coughlin, Newman, a daughter of this church, a mother in her own right, is joining me because I want to hear about a modern day daughter and a modern day father who may have learned a thing or two from Philip, who may have modeled what fathers just ought to model. So Laura Newman Coughlin, not only daughter of this church, but daughter of Carolyn and Ted Newman. And you will hear from Ted a little later. Laura, what did your dad model before you? What would you have us know about Ted Newman?
Well, hopefully you guys can hear me. If you can't, I'm going to use my theater voice, which may be one of the things my father modeled for me. And can I ask you to hold this? Because I don't know how much juggling I'll be able to do. I also learned how to talk with my hands because of my father and my mother. So I'm going to do that a little bit. This is a picture, several pictures, of my father from, and I think, I'm not sure, but I, no, yep, I think his brother is on here too. So my father is the youngest of two boys. This is my family on the Newman side. Some of it. There's a lot of us. This little kid is me. I still do this. Another thing I learned from my father, who learned it from actually his mother. These are his parents, Pat and Virginia Newman. It's important to talk about my father's family to be able to talk about my father. Because fathers learn from their parents, and what they learn from their parents learn from theirs, and so on. And it moves forward. And what my father taught me, I am now trying to teach my daughter. We'll see how long I get into this before I cry, because we're all so sentimental. My daughter will be 3 shortly. To be able to talk about my father, I first need to talk about his father, my grandfather. We called him Papa, Pat. Now, I was blessed and lucky enough to know him for almost 2 decades, which means that I knew him as a child and I knew him as a young woman, as did my sister and my brother. I'm the eldest of 3, a girl, and a boy. My grandfather was a gentle giant. He was a giant in all senses, tall, big feet, big hands, big voice, big laugh. Laughed with his whole body, his whole heart. Kind and generous and loving and funny, so funny. So funny that it didn't matter how young or old you were, you thought he was funny. Patient, consistent, generous, gave with his heart and his mind and his spirit. And he was lucky enough to have found the love of his life at a young age. You don't get to do that a lot. That doesn't happen often. Some of us, it takes a couple times. Now, my father was also lucky enough to find the love of his life at a young age. It took me a little while. It was a little late start for me. But I believe that my father wasn't just lucky enough to find the woman he calls the love of his life today, my mother, many years later, not just because of luck, but because of how he grew up watching his parents' relationship, how loving and kind and wonderful and healthy it was. And when I say healthy, I'm sure they had arguments because nobody's perfect and no relationship is perfect. And I would never, ever say that my dad is some sort of like this superhero, because first he would come over here and correct me if I did anything like that. But I was lucky enough to grow up knowing that the lessons that my father learned as a child and as a teenager and as a young man and and now an older man, that they came from his childhood and his parents and his father in particular. And he may even remember lessons that he learned from his father's father. I don't know how much, I can't remember how much he remembers of that man. But I imagine that it's generations worth of lessons that our fathers learn and then teach their children. So some of what I've learned, that was the question, right? Some of what I've learned from my father. To love with all your heart. To love yourself, which is such a hard lesson when you have some tough times. No, I'm going to be okay. It's very hard to talk about failure because you don't want to fail, but you do. Inevitably, you do. Now, I have made small mistakes throughout my life because I am a human being, but I have also made damaging ones. Damaging to others, damaging to myself, damaging to the people I love. Shameful, embarrassing, horrible mistakes. Mind-crushing, heart-crushing, soul-crushing mistakes. But what pulled me out, not the only thing, but what pulled me out was my father's love, my mother's love, and their patience and kindness and willingness and ability to help in large ways and material ways and small and quiet moments. And maybe those moments perhaps were even more helpful for the long term. Because when I went through some very tough times as a young woman, I lost myself, my sense of self. I lost control of things. I hid them and I lied and I sinned, truly. And some of you know about that and some of you don't. But I gained so much wisdom from the love that I was given. And given without hesitation. And when you're lucky enough to have a family, a father figure in this case, of a father, my father, I think that that's what saves you when you go through these really horrible times. Because you cannot come out of it on your own. In some cases, in many cases, in mine, I couldn't come out of it on my own. And when I say that I was depressed, I was depressed, and I did not know it until it was too late to know it, almost. I don't mean that I harmed myself physically, I never did, but I harmed my heart and my mind and my spirit, and I harmed others, which is a thing that I have to deal with and continue to. But my father's love and his patience and his tenderness and his affection and his kindness and his generosity and his ability to recognize being disappointed but to forgive is such a gift.
So I would ask you the final question I want to ask. What do you want him to know on this Father's Day before I come ask him to sit in this seat? What do you want him to know?
Well, he already knows that I love him, but I'm going to say that I love him as one of the things. I want to kind of go a little lighter now. So there are some moments that I remember that stand out, because this is who my father is. He's a lot of things, but these are some of the things my father is. And I've learned to be these things from childhood through adulthood because of him. I've learned a lot from my mom. I don't want to discredit that.
Absolutely. Carolyn, Mother's Day, we promise.
I would like to do this next year for her, but if she'll let me. But so one of my, I have many favorite memories of my father, but several of them involve him just sitting still. And selfishly, I would say some of them involve Door County, because that's where our family feels like we're home again. But I remember from one of my younger childhood memories, him sitting outside, probably on the Lake Michigan side in Door County, because that was where we went most of the time, on a deck in a patio chair, looking out at the lake, looking out at the sky. I don't remember if it was sunrise. I don't remember if it was darker, just looking. And he had this look of content, just a quiet smile. And he was probably listening to the waves, and he was probably listening to the birds, and just enjoying the peace and being still and being present and being peaceful. So content. And you know when my father is content because of the way he smiles. It's a quiet smile. And that's an important lesson to learn, to be able to be still and at peace and calm and present. And he never talked about these things, like, be this way, be that way. You just learned by watching and observing. He's a listener and an observer, I am too. So that's one thing that I've learned from him and that I want him to know. The other thing that I want him to know is that there's family that he's related to and family that he's not related to. And if I can take a minute to tell this story. I'm going to take my glasses off because they're all teared up now. Although I've done pretty well. Emily, Carl, myself. I'm the eldest, then Emily, then Carl. I'm also the shortest. We all have friends who have considered my father to be another father, a father figure. My mother, another mother, a mother figure. They created this safe harbor, not only for their three children and for all of our cousins, but also for our friends. And there's a moment that I find to be so precious, which is really indicative of the lessons that my father has taught us. My best friend went through some horrible things as a teenager that deeply affected her family. I'm not going to go into details because it's not my story. But she lived on the other side of town, and we were in high school. The things that happened when we were in middle school. So this is a few years later, but they deeply affected and changed forever the dynamic of her family. She ran away from home one day. I think it was during summer. In fact, I remember it being summer because it was very warm out. And if you've ever run barefoot on cement in the summer, you know that that's not easy to do. She was a tall, skinny, gangly, wonderful woman, a teenager. She ran from one side of the town to our house on the other side of town, barefoot. I don't know to this day what happened that day at home. I don't know the pain she was feeling. I don't know. I didn't ask her to tell me that story. I'm never going to. But when she came to our house, she was grief-stricken. I had never quite seen her so fully commit to feeling it. And we were sitting outside along a stone wall, which is where the garden was. And I remember my parents allowing us the time and the space to be on our own and for me to comfort my best friend. But I also know that likely my father called her mother to reassure her and to let her know where she was. I'm guessing it was him because he's good at being calm and reassuring. And then I remember a sense of my family enfolding her, not physically, though I'm sure they embraced that day, but enfolding her and bringing her into the family. And she already was a part of our family before this, but it's so pivotal in my brain because from that day on, she has always thought of my father as another father, perhaps a real father in some ways. And I think that the thing that I want my father to recognize and to know is that we each of us have people in our lives who think of him that way, who are not blood related. But his character and his heart and his spirit, which likely is connected to his faith in some way, I'm sure, has allowed for that to happen, to give us safe harbor in many different ways throughout the years, and he likely will again.
Mr. Newman, would you trade seats with me?
And what I would invite you to do is to tell your daughter in brief words what all of that means to you.
Well, first I need to correct you. It is true that we went to Door County 20-odd years in this every summer, and you told a story about me sitting on a deck, which I did, with a cup of coffee, which I did, and being content, which I was, and that you weren't sure if it was sunrise or sunset. And I can tell you to a virtual certainty that I never got up in time to see the sunrise in Door County in 20-something years. I was struck by a couple of things you said about children learning from their parents, about you learning from me. Whether you intend to teach or not when you're raising kids, you in fact are teaching every single day, which is in some respects a scarifying thought. You're fully aware of that now with your own daughter, Aurora, and it's early in the game for that situation, but you already know that every day your kids watch and they listen and they take in a lesson virtually every day that they spend time with you. And so what you're obliged to do as a parent is to try to do it the right way. Julie Marshall is credited with an observation, and I'm going to flip the gender on it and the gender role. She says, there is no way to be a perfect father. There's a million ways to be a good one. Well, first of all, that's kind of ridiculous. There's not a million ways to be a good father or a good mother, but there's probably 1,000 ways to be a good father or a good mother. And so what I tried to do, and what I know Carolyn tried to do as a mom, is to raise up you as a person and your siblings as people who recognize things that are important and hold to things that are true and allow people to develop as human beings in a way that is their natural path. And as you point out, the natural path of anyone is going to have some dark valleys where you want to talk about the 23rd Psalm. And you went through that, as frankly all of us do. And the role of a parent in those circumstances is to provide the support they can and the way they can do so. I think the thing to recognize about being a father is, no matter how much you think about it in advance, once that day comes, and you know, we have a relative who's on two, he's a father now for one day. And it's like that archetypical story of being taught to swim but being thrown out of the boat or thrown into the pool. Mm-hmm. First you thrash about and you try not to panic, and eventually you slow down and you think, wait a minute, I can float and I can make progress. And I think as a parent, if you can float and make progress in the raising of a young woman or a young man, you're at least headed in the right direction. If there's anything that I think has struck me, and this is in recent years as I read scripture more, frankly, that is critical to being a good father, and we all fall short, but we pick ourselves up and try again, is critical is to follow the admonition of Micah, which is all that we are required to do as a father, you fathers out there, and as a mother. All we are required to do is to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. And those are the most important lessons I think you want to plant in your children when young You want to train them up so that when they're old, they will not depart from it, as Psalm says. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. I think you managed to do those things, and it's incumbent on you now to pass that forward. Or in contemporary vernacular, do the right thing, look out for the other guy, don't get a big head. If you could manage to do those things, I think you could manage to be a good parent, a good father. Not perfect, but a good one. And after all, that's the most any of us as humans can hope for.
My brothers and sisters, Philip made way for his child, his children. Ted made a path for Laura. Laura now for Aurora. But hear clearly the lessons. It is not an easy path, but it is one that we embrace. It's not a perfect path, but it's one that we lavish with forgiveness. And it is a worthwhile path because it is filled with love. This day, we give God thanks and praise for fathers like Philip and like Ted. But even more, we give thanks for the presence of God that is Father, that is good parent, that you and I might know as we tread paths that are not easy, there is a God who forgives, that as we live our lives, we have someone after which to model, a God of love. And as we live our lives, everything God bestows on us, it is our job to pass on. In this moment, Father's Day, Mother's Day, Human Day, roll into one where we might see the way to love and the way to encourage and the way to set forward on a path that is good. Laura and Ted, we thank you. Philip the evangelist, we thank you. May we who are parents or who stand in that role, parenting any child who is born, make space for their gifts, cover them, and hold them up that they can stand on rocky mountains and walk on stormy seas, that we plant in them that they are more than they think they are, and that they live what they learn in our presence. And may the same be true for us as we look to our God who loves us and who raises us up to be more than we ever thought we could be. Our God, we give you thanks for the story of Philip. We give you thanks for modern day fathers and daughters. And we give you thanks in this moment, our God, that you love us, that you are parent to us, Father and mother to us, and you guide us along our way. Now, God, bless those fathers worldwide and instill in each of us your love that we may feel it and move in it and be blessed. Oh, God, we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Beloved, go into the world aware that there is a God who loves you, who covers you, who encourages you, who pours into you, and who welcomes you to receive the embrace of love. God to child, this day and every day, go into the world and be blessed. Amen.